This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
The Knicks looking to go for five straight, but it doesn't seem like people are excited about five straight. It seems like they're concerned about the future of Julius Randle on this team.
Well, they shouldn't be concerned about it because it has to be over, right? I mean, he's already kind of intimated that this is not where he wants to be. He made it clear after the victory against the Bulls. Not going to work here. It's done. And you just hope you're going to be able to get a decent return because he's still a very good player. And I think in the right market with the right team, he could flourish. You just got to hope that you can get what you deserve for him. But right now you're selling low. And it's amazing how quickly it turned from darling media and fans in less than a year.
The Michael K. Show. On 98.7 ESPN.
There you have it. 4:03 on the K Show on 98.7 ESPN. And I'm very giddy. It's just a couple of days away from WrestleMania. I head down to Dallas tomorrow. So I am very, very excited about that, Dom. But a lot of people are very excited about the upcoming NFL draft.
Yes.
Time to start anew. Time to dream of what could be. And so every time around this year, we always have to talk to our guy. I mean, is there anyone who knows more about what they're interested in, Don, than Todd McShay?
That is so true. Thank you, Todd.
Good to be with you guys. What's going on?
How are you, man? Nothing. Just getting geared up here. What do you think, in your eyes, what is the number one storyline when it comes to the draft and New York football?
Wow. Well, obviously the four picks in the top 10, it's going to be pretty wild for both fan bases. To me, the Jets, it's interesting because the Jets and Giants have a lot of the same needs in kind of different orders, but you know, both teams could desperately need an additional edge, you know, a pass rusher off the edge. Both teams could use additions at wide receiver. Both teams need cornerback help, and offensive line is kind of varying. I think the Giants probably have a little bit bigger offensive line need than the Jets. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And are the Jets going to wind up taking one of the Giants players that they want? Or are the Giants at 5-7 going to take the player that the Jets want sitting at 10? So it'll be fascinating to see how it plays out.
All right, well, certainly if we start with the Jets because they've got the first pick locally at 4. The need seems to be something that is going to help Zach Wilson, and that would be a weapon, a wide receiver. Is there someone right that can make an immediate impact in Wilson's second year and their rookie year?
I think there are two guys that are kind of in the top tier, if you will. And I don't want to say that they're Ja'Marr Chase, but just a notch below in terms of the evaluation coming out of college. And that's Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, who's around 6 foot, 188 pounds, but ran a 4.38 40-yard dash. And I see a lot of C.D. Lamb in him, you know, the Cowboys player, the great Oklahoma player. And I say that because of the body control, the ability when the ball's in the air to just kind of contort his body, move around, just the hand-eye coordination and make unbelievably difficult catches look easy, and then the run-after-catch ability. Then you get Drake London from USC, who got injured in October, late October, didn't play the rest of the season, wasn't able to work out at the combine, but he's going to be ready for the year. And he's 6'4", 210 pounds. He's like a shooting forward in the NBA. I mean, he's that kind of build. He's got a basketball background. He was a superstar in high school and played his freshman year at USC and then wound up focusing fully on football. And he's the best guy in the draft in terms of the red zone, contested catches, and he's weirdly good after the catch for such a long limb guy. So those are the two receivers that we're talking about in the top 10. Both will come off the board. I feel strongly in the top 10, but because you've got these offensive linemen and edge rushers early and maybe a cornerback in Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati, mm-hmm. can you, if you're Joe Douglas with the Jets, do you pass on the receiver at 4 and hope you get one of those two guys at 10? That would be the risk that you take. Or do you just value one of those receivers so much you say,
yeah,
to Eckworth that let's just take our guy here and not be concerned about it, because there is a drop-off. You know, Chris Olave from Ohio State, really good receiver. You've got Treylon Burks from Arkansas is a good receiver, but they're more mid to late first round prospects. So that could be a gamble that they make. Maybe it's in order to take Trayvon Walker, the defensive end at number four out of Georgia, or Sauce Gardner, the cornerback out of Cincinnati. So it'll be interesting to see the philosophy and kind of the strategy for Joe Douglas with the Jets.
And whatever is out there at four, Todd, is it enough that you feel like you have to keep it, that if Seattle wants the four for Metcalf, you say no?
No. If they want the four for Metcalf, I would strongly consider it, because you know what you're going to get with Metcalf, and you've seen it in the NFL. Could Garrett Wilson be a better player? Sure. Could Drake London be a better player? Sure. But they could have trouble adjusting to the NFL game. We've seen it with a lot of players. Although receivers in recent years, if you study it, and it used to not be the case coming out of the college ranks, but because of like the 7-on-7 culture in high school and all the spread offenses and so much more of the ball working through the receiver rather than the running back, so much of that, I think the receivers are just so further along in their development when they get to the NFL. Just look at the last couple of years. We've had 11 first-round draft picks, and almost all of them have worked out. And this year we're going to have another probably 6 wide receivers in the first round. So I would feel really good about taking either one of these guys. I don't know that I would give up number 4 for Metcalf. Maybe we could talk about a couple, maybe the 2 seconds or maybe just maybe the 7th. I don't know what I would wind up doing. I'd have to really sit down and look at that and look at the structure of the contract and all the cap implications. But ultimately, again, it's going to be a receiver. I think we saw how important that is with the Tyreek Hill situation. And if it's not a veteran guy before the draft, it's going to be a receiver with one of these 2 picks at 4 or 10.
Now, the Giants are interesting because they have 5 and 7. So there's a pretty good chance they'll get, once they get to 5, get the next guy, right, that's also on their board, unless Carolina's. But I think Carolina's probably going to go quarterback. I'll see how you feel about that in a second. But where do you think the Giants do at 5 and 7?
Yeah, I think, let's put it this way. If the Panthers don't go quarterback at number 6, it's probably going to be offensive tackle. So if you like one of the guys that's on the board at offensive tackle and you value that and that's where you want to go, then don't wait till 7 to see if he's there. I would just take him at number 5. And that would be the strategy. And it's pretty really simple. Like, honestly, if they say, you know what, we can live with our offensive line as is, or for some reason, if Ike Ekwonu from NC State and Evan Neal from Alabama, the top 2 offensive tackles in this class, are sitting there at 5 and you're comfortable with either of them, then you can go with a different position. But I would, if one of those guys or both of those guys is on the board and you say, hey, this is the offensive lineman that we want, you take him at 5 because there's a strong chance. I'd say 50-50. He winds up going at number 6, and why take the risk? Because it's either going to be a quarterback or offensive tackle at 6. So then the edge rusher or the wide receiver or whatever other position you're targeting, that player is going to be there.
And then I have to believe it's edge pass rusher, right? I know Thibodeau had a really good interview with them. They liked him. Is that who you would rank as your highest edge pass rusher at 7, or is there somebody else you have in mind?
I would have Thibodeau right behind Trayvon Walker from Georgia. And I know you look at the stats and say, well, the sack production wasn't there, and I understand that, but they were working him inside as a 5 technique a lot. They were dropping him in coverage a lot. He wasn't your typical in that scheme, which is kind of a base 3-4. They weren't, and you look at it, sometimes it's a 4-3, like they go back and forth, but realistically they are so gap disciplined at Georgia that they're not obsessed with getting up the field and getting after the quarterback all the time like some of these other programs are. So I think Trayvon Walker, you look at the arm length, the explosion, running in the four fives and his 40-yard dash, he is an absolute freak of nature, and I think he's got a chance to be a special player. So, but I also think that Thibodeau can be a special player as well. Either way, I think you get a win if you wind up taking him at number 7, if either of those players are on the board.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Talking to our draft guru, Todd McShay, here on the Michael K. Show, Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg. Just off the draft for a second, since we're talking about the Giants, and you saw Daniel Jones. You obviously critiqued Daniel Jones when he was drafted sixth overall. What do you think the percentage is he's their quarterback next season?
You're talking about 2022 or 2023?
2023, meaning does he survive? Like, we'll see if he survives this year. Is he getting a contract? Is he the future of this team? Or does Taylor take over and then eventually they go to another quarterback?
I would bet on there's a different quarterback starting in 2023. Let's put it that way. My view is skewed. If you were talking to Kiper right now, he would say Daniel Jones can be the guy, and you've got the new staff coming in, and Brian Daboll can you know, tweak him. He's certainly, you know, not going to be an elite quarterback, but he can get him to a point where he can utilize his mobility and get a little bit more of that Josh Allen type production out of him that involved in Buffalo. But I don't see it. It's always been turnovers and durability issues. And it, you know, that has been the two biggest things. I mean, you can't turn the ball over, what is it, 50 times in 38 starts, something like that. I've read maybe 49 times in 38 starts. And then also not be on the field for 17 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Every single season he's missing games. So I would bet on it being a quarterback, but they're certainly not going to draft one this year. They're going to let him have a one-year tryout, if you will, to see if he can be the guy. And then, listen, he's a great guy, and I hope the best for him, but I would not bet on that. I think that there's going to be a new quarterback, and it could very likely be the Giants in a situation. I'm not saying they're going to pick this high and certainly won't have as many picks, but I think that they could be in a situation where they're trying to move up to get into the sweepstakes for the top two quarterbacks next year, and Bryce Young from Alabama and C.J. Stroud from Ohio State.
Is there a quarterback in this year's draft that absolutely excites you?
I would say intrigue is a lot better word than
okay.
Malik Willis from Liberty is the most intriguing. I mean, Anytime you've got a quarterback that can come in the league and he's probably in the top 5-7 in terms of arm strength and would be in the top three from the day he's drafted in the league in terms of athleticism and ability to create and extend with his feet. And it's not just the speed and quickness. The dude is built like a Mike linebacker from his waist down. he breaks tackles, and he's got an unbelievable ability to just drive through for 3-4 extra yards at the end of runs. I know it's not what you want from your quarterback, but he does break a lot of tackles and extends plays because of it. So he has a lot of progressing to do in terms of understanding the game. As his head coach said, Hugh Freeze, he doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. But he's an intelligent young man. He's a great individual football and personal character. And he's got tools that nobody else in this class has. Now, if you get a win right away and you're Matt Rhule sitting at 6 and saying, like, my job's on the line, and I know ultimately that's an organizational decision, but he's going to be whispering Rhule is in everyone's ears saying, hey, let's go get Kenny Pickett, who started 49 games at Pitt and is much more NFL ready and is much more capable of putting together a season like Mac Jones put together for the New England Patriots, rather than gambling on a guy that probably needs 2 or 3 years before he's going to reach his potential, if he ever does. And if he reaches it, Malik Willis, he's got a chance to be, you know, a top 10 quarterback in the league. I mean, he's that talented, but there's just so much to learn and so much developing to do between now and then.
So it looks like Carolina goes quarterback, goes Pickett. So that's it for Sam Darnold in Carolina, despite the fact they gave him the fifth-year option. What happened with Sam, do you think, Todd? Is it on him? Did the Jets ruin him? Did we all get it wrong? What happened with Sam Darnold?
I think, you know, I'm not a big blame game guy, but I think that in any situation you have to look at both sides. And certainly the Jets just weren't equipped organizationally. They weren't, from a coaching staff and you know, and evaluators, or the decision makers in the organization at the time, they weren't equipped not only to, you know, put the supporting pieces around them, but also, more importantly, I think to actually develop him and to get him to understand what they were trying to do and to put him in the right learning curve, if you will. And then he goes to Carolina. He plays really well until McCaffrey goes out. And that roster is not that great. Let's just be, I mean, they're picking at 6 for a reason. But they were winning games when McCaffrey was there. He gets injured, and then it falls apart. And there are two things, though, if you're blaming Sam Darnold. And he deserves part of the credit. And if you talk to him right now, he'll straight up tell you, like, A, I got to stay healthy. And B, I got to stop the unwarranted turnovers, you know, plays where I'm trying to extend or I'm trying to force a ball in. Even, you know, even in college, he had difficulty with that. If you're going to knock him in college, it was that he was always a playmaker and had magic in terms of what he could do extending plays. But you know, turnovers and injuries, a lot like Daniel Jones, we talked about, they're killer and they're going to get you kicked out of the league faster than anything else.
Todd, thank you so much, man. We are geared up, and just in a few weeks we'll have an entire new landscape. I hope you survive and get some sleep over the next month. We know this is your busy season. We appreciate you making time.
I'll sleep in May. You got it, guys. Have a good day.
That's Todd McShay. So it's so intriguing, especially for, you know, the locals to have the Jets have 4-10, the Giants have 5-7.
Can you remember? Was there ever a draft this loaded by these two teams up top?
I remember in 2000, the Jets had 4 first-round picks. Wow. And the Giants, obviously, I believe.
Four top 10 among both is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And if you're a Giant fan, you root for Carolina to take the quarterback because you're not taking a quarterback, which means that you'll feel like you have back-to-back selections and you kind of can do what you want and should be able to get exactly what you want as long as the top 4 go according to plan. And the thing with the quarterbacks, and that spoke volumes with Todd when he talked about how, you know, intrigued, because there's possibly 3 quarterbacks, right? If Matt Corral goes to Detroit at 32, there's 3 quarterbacks in the first round, and Pickett would be the first quarterback taken at 5. Like, nobody's talking about the quarterbacks at all. When was the last time you saw a draft where, like, no, there's really no intrigue? The only conversation about the quarterbacks was Pickett's hand size. Right, that's all we've really talked about.
So true.
And you hope next year. That's why, you know, with the Giants, it's that they had no other choice. You know, they weren't going to take a quarterback in either of those positions. You're not going to create something that's not there. And you just hope that next year the quarterback class will be good. I thought coming out of the combine that there would be a quarterback that would emerge, but it never really seemed to happen. So it's going to be a fun draft. Jets and Giants trying to turn things around. But Peter, if I'm Joe Douglas and I'm hot for a wide receiver at four, then why wouldn't four be in play for Metcalf? Why hope that your wide receiver you're taking at four becomes Metcalf? Go get Metcalf. Now, I realize it's going to take more than the fourth overall pick, but you'll probably have to give up less if four's involved than just 10, because it's a top five pick. Now, if I could go anywhere, well, then it's a different story. But if I look at the best player on the board being a wide receiver, then why wouldn't four be in my package for Metcalf?
Well, you know, I always get intrigued when we talk about your package. And
Excuse me?
Sorry.
Yeah, really. Thank you.
Sorry. One thing that stood out that McShay said, at least in my mind, was the intrigue in quarterbacks versus excitement. But it is funny because as a fan of a team that I think needs a quarterback, sorry, Carson Wentz, Willis does intrigue me too. I mean, but it's a risk, right? Like, this is a guy, Liberty is not Alabama. But when you hear about him, that's why intrigue's the perfect word. I'm so curious to see what he could be in the pros. But does a team who's able to get him, it's tough to take a risk on a guy like that.
I heard Greeny say that, I was listening to Greeny, and he opened the show with Mike Tannenbaum. And Mike Tannenbaum was talking about Willis going to Pittsburgh. And he's like, you got Mitch Trubisky there as your gap guy. Pittsburgh's always done, you know, very well at grooming young players. Tomlin, you saw what they did with Ben Roethlisberger. Like, that would be a very interesting landing spot for him. Doesn't have to play right away.
Right.
And, you know, you'd be perfectly happy with Trubisky being your starting quarterback for 2022. It might actually do a pretty decent job. He hasn't been in the league long, but he does have a little experience.
That's a good fit. I mean, for a small, for lack of a better word, but for a small program quarterback, the more solidified a team that they can go to, the better. You know, I mean, it's true with any quarterback, but particularly someone you need to develop.
And he also mentioned Corral going 32 to Detroit because you've got Jared Goff there. So you don't have to start him right away. He went to a bigger program with Ole Miss, but, you know, it's a late pick. So there is – do not be surprised. You know, in a sport where you had Russell Wilson third round, Joe Montana in the third round, that don't be surprised if we fast forward 5 years from now and one of these three quarterbacks are going to Pro Bowls and winning playoff games.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, that's the intrigue of the draft. And now, speaking of intrigue –
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Don, you want to talk about matchups? You want to talk about sexy matchups? We'll start out with Drop Madness in the K region, the 6 seed.
Oh, stop.
Up against the 7 seed.
Let's break. Give me a break. I don't want to go five, deep into the 5
stop
o'clock
it.
Hour.
Stop yourself.
Stop.
That's really tough. I know who I'm voting for. But
yeah, me too. I know where I'm going, but it's tough. We go to the Peter region, where we have the 3 seed in action.
French fry, team on Saturday, team on Sunday. I don't even know the ball.
Ed Orgeron up against the upstart 15 seed.
The Buckner play is like an etched in my moment kind of mind.
I think I know which way this is going to go. No matter how I may feel about it, I know where this is going. We go to the Don region, where this is, again, for like the 5th time in this tournament, Don gets the primetime CBS affair. We start with the 6 seed.
Please, dear God in heaven, like me for 5 seconds.
And you know there's nothing harder in a Don matchup than yelling versus drugs. Well, that's what we have. The 6 seed yelling against the 15 seed.
I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God.
That's more of a K drop than a Don drop, though, because K's reaction makes it.
He does. It's one of his best reactions ever on the show, if we're being honest. And then I believe this would be Don the 9:45 game on CBS. This is a fine late night matchup in the Nether region. The 2 seed.
A lot of people that listen say that I kiss your fanny too much and I give you too much credit.
What?
Aaron Boone up against the 6 seed.
I hope they lose.
I gotta tell you,
that's tough too.
I hope they lose could go on a deep run to me. Or, I don't know if it survives Boone because of the Yankee fanboys of it all.
That's a good point.
I don't know if he can survive. But when you think about what that drop is, a Yankee fan who's so angry yelling that I hope they lose, it's Don, it's perfect. It's everything. Now, the only thing it's missing is if he said, I hope they lose. By the way, I've been a Yankee fan since 1941.
That's right.
That's the only thing That's missing. It's perfect. Go to twitter.com/TMKSESPN. Yes, it's TMKSESPN on Twitter. Start the voting right now. We'll end it at 6:20 as we wrap up ENN. By the way, and Andrew Gundling led ENN.
Oh, really?
And as we know, I mean, let's just tell the truth.
Well, hey there.
That's the best kind of ENN you can get.
I
will
like
literally never resign. You will have to fire me.
You know how I feel about it, and that's the right call.
Of course it's the right call. So we'll have an Andrew ENN, and when we come back, Don, we are going to play Mike Greenberg's response to Don LaGreca's insane, savage attack on Greenberg.
Why is that?
So we will hear from Greeny next. It's Peter and Don on the K-Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.